Hello, this is Reverend John Harfouch, and you're listening to the Christian Harfouch Ministries podcast. We have a message for you today from Apostle Dr. Christian Harfouch. For more information, live broadcasts, and video teachings, connect with us online at globalrevival.com and join us every week for the Christian Harfouch Ministries podcast.
Hallelujah. Well, I won't keep you on your feet too long, huh? Whatever that means, right? Would you look with me in the word of the Lord? No, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have you look real brief. I'm going to start in the deep waters because... Turn with me in your Bibles to the Acts of the Apostles. I have the altar of miracles, the altar of prayer, open, and we are both in receipt of your prayer requests and praying over them as a ministry, as a team, and also as a family. And we are so glad about the thousands of prayer requests that came in just from the last encounter I had with you. And we're thankful about the testimonies coming in. So this is why the prayer request table or altar is going to remain on the on our meetings or gatherings, because we're constantly replenishing and receiving and agreeing with you regarding your breakthrough. Amen. 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 The Acts of the Apostles. And if you would look with me, please. And Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death, speaking of the death of Stephen, first martyr of the church. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, it's a private joke. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Please look with me at chapter 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the church or the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now I want you to look at me very carefully. We were going to start skimming the surface of the word today. But since you came in on a vacation season, we're going to walk right into the deep end of the word of the living God. It's warfare time. It's authority time. It's victory time. It's faith time. We see here, shortly prior to that, the word of God multiplying, the church having a season of fantastic growth. Things are happening. And then all of a sudden, Stephen, who's being used by God mightily because he's been with Jesus at first century discipleship. And as a witness of the indwelling of the Lord, he was shining like an angel. Well, we know what happened as a result. One of the greatest messages preached, and a great testimony given by him, lay not this sin to their charge. And a great record that the Son of Man, the Lord, standing up at the right hand of power to receive him. But I want you to look, please, with me. You may have never seen this before. Because we have here in the life of Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a very educated master doctor. He's a rabbi of rabbis. He knows the law. He knows the word of God. He knows the pros that are going to benefit his religion. And he knows the cons or the oppositions to his religion. It's very important to notice that Saul of Tarsus did not see any reason to let the women off of the persecution battlefield. Says, for Saul made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Why, Rabbi Saul? Because these people carry power. Because these people's women are just as dangerous as these people's men. And Paul, Saul at the time, he knows. He just faced Stephen with the Sanhedrin. He's got 80 to 120 elders with him that judged Stephen worthy of martyrdom. And yet, no backpedaling, no denying the Lord, and no quitting. That's you don't know how to deal with that. So he turns up the heat. The church is all of a sudden scattered. Oh, everybody forgot the season. Went to, Antioch, went to Syria, went to Damascus, went all over the place, except the apostles. And Saul of Tarsus says, don't spare anybody. Grab the women too. Because all these people have received something from God. Just stay with me. Are you here? Then Saul in chapter 9, breathing threatening and slaughter or death, martyrdom, right? Yes. Against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and he got letters to do what? To go to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, Are there any of this way here today? Are you still in this way? Are you going to move forward in this way? Are you going to preach in that name? Are you going to testify of His glory? Are you going to preach His goodness? Are you going to declare His mercy? Are you going to minister His power? Are you going to impart His healing? Do we have just as many in this way that are men today? Do we have as many in this way that are women today? Whether they were men or women, He might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Can we read one more?
Yes.
Or are you too tired?
No.
All right. It's not all we're going to read, but stay on your feet because I need to drive this home. This is the conclusion before the sermon. Because you need to know where we're going. That's an obscure text I took, didn't I? Who wants to start with martyrdom and threatenings? I want us to look, please, together at Galatians, at the epistle of Paul to the Galatians. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, defers nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Can you believe we found Christmas in the middle of that? Christmas in the middle of that attempted chaos. Made of a woman, what? Made under the law. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Look at me. Who would receive the adoption of sons? Men?
Yes.
Women?
Yes.
Oh, we would all, men and women, receive the being installed, instituted, adapted into the sonship. No one called of God is called to be deprived of experiencing the heirship that the Lord has made for us, men and women. So who's called to be to the adoption of sons?
We are.
One more time. And because you are sons, men and women, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Men and women are sons, and the Spirit of His Son was sent into our hearts. Women, the Spirit of the Son was sent into your heart. Men, oh, that was quiet.
Yes.
Men, the Spirit of His Son was sent into your heart.
Yes.
Therefore, you're no longer slaves or servants, but sons. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I want you to look at me for a moment. This is the same man. This is the same man. This is Saul of Tarsus. Has become now the Apostle Paul. He had no distinction in the beginning. Because he was afraid. He was under anxiety. He was under worry. His religion was going to be taken away. The sense of he prospered above all his fellows in the religion of his fathers. And all of a sudden these newbies come along and they have powers that he doesn't understand. And he can't actually put his finger on it. He can't just attribute it to only the men. Because it's so early in the way that you couldn't stop the women even at the tomb. I'm going to preach today if I had a church in the way. And he's in his unregenerate, in his pre-Christ experience. He's like, I'm gonna wreak havoc on the church. I'm not going to deprive the women of the same persecution I'm giving the men. These people are equally dangerous because there's something about him. He didn't know what it was. Now he's writing and he knows exactly what it is. He knows exactly what it is. He said, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to deliver them that were under the law. And he sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The world is about to see a generation that is crossing over, that is stepping into higher ground. Lift your hands and shout if you believe it. Lift your hands up, Father. We thank you for the privilege and the anointing, the unction, the endowment of your spirit. That today you will use our heart, our mind, our will, our emotions, and our lips to declare your living, inspired, God-breathed word to transform your children and aid powerfully in lifting us up in the middle of an impostering world. A world system ruled by the prince of darkness. A system where the enemy would love to have control. But you have given us authority. And today we thank you that not one of your people will choose not to receive what you have in store for us. We came one way, but we're going to leave here another way. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, go ahead and make some noise if you believe. Glory. Put your hands on your spirit. I am a believer.
I am a believer.
I have an alert mind.
I have an alert mind.
A receptive spirit. An attentive heart.
An attentive heart.
And active faith.
And active faith.
My life is full of energy.
My life is full of energy.
I know that you have something for me today, Lord.
I know that you have something for me today, Lord.
And I will not leave without it.
And I will not leave without it.
What I receive today.
What I receive today.
I believe will change my life forever.
I believe will change my life forever.
Now if you believe it, give the Lord a great shout again, please. Amen. You may be seated. So, the Lord, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the uncreated, eternal, ever-living, holy Word of God. Became a human, made of a woman, made under the law. God declared to the Virgin Mary the promise of the fulfillment of Isaiah. And then we understand that the Apostle Paul refers to that the Son of God, made of a woman, made under the law, was to deliver us from under the law. One thing that we need to understand is that the law sets a perfect standard and proves perfectly a case. That means the law of Moses sets a perfect standard and proves perfectly a case that no man can keep the law. The case needed to be proved, because otherwise mankind would have made themselves another savior. Adam fell. Humanity did not have the ability to live according to the standard of a perfect law, which was introduced by Moses to the people of God. And it concluded all under sin. Concluded all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you following that? Now, I know you believe that because most of you are my students. So don't run up ahead of me wondering where I'm going, because I'll go somewhere else. Just like what happened this morning. You know exactly where I'm at. None of us were saved out of having it done perfectly in the first place. Everyone was introduced to the Lord having confessed that we needed his salvation. And so to deliver them that were under the law also means to deliver us from the curse of the law, which belongs to everyone that is on their own endeavoring to keep the law of God. So he had to do something in us. He had to introduce first a nature to the earth that the earth needed. He needed to introduce the person, the man, the Redeemer, the last Adam, so that he in turn can share out of the heavenly realm an impartation of that characteristic. See, today before you leave, you're going to be reminded that the Lord has given you of his characteristic. Regardless of all of the intrusions of humanity's frailness or the fake reports that are around you in the world, there is a residency in the new birth of a new nature that lives on the inside of you. His power that overcomes the world, that conquers adversity, that aids you and directs you in the middle of a world so that you no longer live as a slave, bound and deprived of the lordship of the provision made for you, but you've been set free from slavery and you're a joint heir with Christ Jesus of the things he supplied in store for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
So this nature that he puts in us is in the new birth. That nature is in the new birth. We know that if you're in Christ, you're a what?
New creature.
New creature. Old things are?
Passed.
They're dead.
Yeah.
And all things are become new. And all things are of God.
Yes.
The God nature.
Yes.
Your enemy doesn't like that God nature. That God nature wakes you up. I'm going to stop. That God nature wakes you up.
Yeah.
Even if you're guilty of being a sleepy Christian, the God nature will wake you up.
Yeah.
It's just the truth. You understand that? And so we know that you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And we know also that whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is what Saul of Tarsus saw. He saw a divine nature operating in the first century church. And he saw the divine nature weird. Weird. You tell Stephen, I'm going to kill you, and he just keeps on preaching. It's weird. You start stoning him, and he says, oh, yeah, don't hold this against them, Lord. That's weird. See, as long as you look at me like that, what you're doing is you're deferring what I'm saying to the pages of the book. But God was not locked away when we put the canon together. Today the Lord has sent me to raise up a generation that carries the divine nature in the earth. You walk in the way. You shine like a light. You declare His goodness. Hallelujah. You declare His power. And Saul of Tarsus saw that. And he saw it dangerous, because how are you going to deal with this people? By the way, can I tell you? The Lord said it like this. He said it to Nicodemus. The wind blows whithersoever it listeth. Wherever it wants to. That's the King James. The wind blows wherever it wants to. Or it could be the Spirit. Because it's the same word, pneuma. And you hear the sound of it. But you don't know where it's coming from and where it's going. And what does he say next? And so is he that is born of the Spirit. Now, how is Saul of Tarsus going to know how to deal with people that he does not know where they came from or where they're going? The answer is he doesn't. It's threatening. Your enemy is raging today because he's terrified of the power of the potential that lives on the inside of you. I'm gonna stop. Stop till the champions show up. I'm gonna stop till a generation that's excited comes up. My God. My. How is he gonna know how to deal with a generation that has received the installment into sonship? How's he going to deal with that? How's the devil going to deal with the potential in this cathedral today? Come on. Say, I'm going to pray for people, Dr. Robin, but I just want to tell you, just because you're a nice little Christian doesn't mean the enemy will leave you alone. You might as well roll up your sleeves. You might as well understand that you're in a warfare. You're in a warfare. So if you're afraid of the alley, don't feel safe in the apartment, baby, because Saul may be coming. But rise up, you're a warrior. Rise up, you're more than a conqueror. Rise up. Greater is he that is in you. Your opposition will get out of your way today. The hindrance will get out of your way today. The burden will be cast down by the wayside today. The strength will rush into your being today. My. You may be seated. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
So if you're scared of the alley, don't feel too safe at the apartment. Because Saul may be coming. Somebody said, well, that's not faith. Well, no. But being afraid of the alley is not faith either. Don't tell me what faith is. There's a war going on. And Jesus won the victory and called you to occupy and claim your nation, your territory, your sphere, your world for the glory of God. I'm going to stop till somebody jumps up to their feet and glorifies God to them. Stay on your feet. Listen to me. Dr. Robin and I wrote the song on the rapture. We wrote the song on the rapture. And so, and I've been preaching the great catching away for decades. So don't you push that on me in the form of lazy today, whoever you are. And just say, well, you know, everything is done. The next thing for me is I'm going to be snatched out of here. Sweetheart, if you can't jump up to the living word of God, you ain't getting snatched up by the word of God. If the word can't get you to jump, the word. You're gonna run. You're gonna praise. You're gonna magnify. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord forever. So the divine nature that we're called to be associates with God in came how? Well, God sent, because we're sons, God sent forth the Spirit, singular, of His Son into our hearts, plural, men and women, crying, Abba, Father. One Spirit, multitudes of vessels, full, because sonship has been granted to us. My God. My God. My God. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the great catching away, the great, we shall be changed, and we'll put on immortality in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. All of the scriptures put together are talking about a moment of appointment God has with His people that might resemble somewhat previous appointments. They might resemble some quickening, some energization, some experience, some encounter, some revelation, but taken up to the maximum. And so if my practice or yours has been always to resist what the Lord is trying to initiate, we'll probably be able, maybe, to resist the great catching away. Practice yieldedness to God. Are you listening to me? This is why Philip could be picked up and put somewhere else. He's yielded to God. Before you get picked up and put somewhere else, you got to be able to hear the Lord and go join the chariot. Come on. Come on. Come on. You ready? I tell you what, we're going to cross over to higher ground, the likes of which we have never been promoted to before. You're going to do it in your state. You're going to do it in your city. You're going to do it in your nation and in your world. Do you have a moment?
Yes.
Sit down, please, and turn with me in your Bibles to the first epistle of Cephas or Peter. First epistle of Peter, chapter 1. And First Peter 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now it's talking to us, isn't it? The word of God is talking to us, begotten us again, is the word born again. And in the first epistle of Peter, I'm going to get ahead of myself. In the epistle of Peter, first Peter, the only time this particular Greek word is used twice by the apostle Peter regarding being born again. Other parts of the Bible, of course, regenerated, the regeneration, born of God. How many understand what I'm talking about? And then, of course, what Jesus told Nicodemus was a different Greek word, but it's also born from above. But it's very important to notice that this is very significant to you. And how many of you have been born again?
Yes!
How many of you are loud about it? How many of you are louder than that about it?
Yeah!
And so it's very important to find out because what I'm wanting to minister to you today leading up to the prayer time is to talk about the nature that was born in us when we accepted what Christ did for us, when he begat us again unto a lively hope by what? The resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And when we connected with that through hearing of faith, and we tapped into that, something started in us I call the indwelling, or Christ in you, the hope of glory according to the teachings of the Apostle Paul, or greater is he that's in you, etc. How many understand what I'm talking about? That's Christianity. Christianity. So he says, he has begotten us again unto a lively hope. The Greek word is anagenao. It means to beget again, to give birth again. And it's from the word genao, or maybe you're used to pronouncing it genao, where we get generated again, or beget. It means begotten again. So now the first time we were begotten after the image of Adam as a living soul. The last Adam was made, let's try it again. Now shout it all together. So when we accepted the last Adam as both God and man, our Redeemer, and come into my life, Lord Jesus, and we accepted the plan of salvation, then the life-giving spirit nature came with him in the spirit of the Son into the hearts of men and women or children of God crying, Abba, Father. Because that's where the faith comes from. So where does great faith come from? Where does great faith come from? Does great faith come from the third heaven? Or does great faith come from the third heaven in the person of the Lord, lives in believers, and according to the Apostle Paul, he calls it manifestations, appearances of the Holy Ghost. This generation living today will operate in the power gifts, will operate in working of miracles, great faith, gifts of healings, like no other generation has ever had the privilege to operate in. Before this morning is over, you will say bye-bye to double-mindedness. You will say bye-bye to anxiety. And you will say goodbye to every arena of fear that is trying to come against you. You will magnify God. You interested in that?
Yes!
You may be seated for a moment. I don't want to lose anybody because of the volume, the energy, energy is a Bible word.
Yes.
It's a Greek word used in the Bible. So, but that's what we're talking about, not about emotionalism. The power is so strong here today. I don't want to lose anybody's ability to receive because of the rapidity and the power, the strength of the delivery. So I want to tell you what I'm talking about. I shared this with Pastor Christie the other day, about a week ago. This that I'm going to tell you right now. This world you live in, how many have been living in victory? Well, because you receive the equipment of the Word of God and the training and the affirmation and the confirmation to your faith, you live in victory. But since you're not completely all the time wrapped up by a cocoon of the protection of the corporate anointing, then you hear things and run into contradictory feelings that come from spirits that are not of God. And the target of the enemy is not to immediately get you to operate in fear or terror, because you're too victorious for that. He starts by trying to get what I told you was a foothold. To get just his foot in the door. And that foot in the door comes from double-minded. Double-minded is equal to doubt. If you're not saying I'm 100% not going to vary or waver from what I know the truth of the Word of God is, and you allow doubt to come in, then you're going to start wavering, and that doubt is called double mind. So double mind is a short circuit to what? It's a short circuit also to answers. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. These prayer altars, these prayer requests, none of them are called to be unanswered. And in your life, I believe before today is over, there's going to be a releasing of acceleration of answers to some things that have tried to delay in your life. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. Glory to God. So double mind is doubt, but double mind is the beginning. If the enemy could put his foot in the door before you could shut the door, you understand it's allegoric I'm talking about. Three steps. Double-mindedness, double mind. The next step, anxiety. And the next step is the spirit of fear. Three steps. He doesn't hit you with fear if you're walking in authority and you repel that thing. He just starts. And then you might not even respond to the first or the second. Then after a while, you just, well, let me think about it a little bit. Once you start thinking, you're doubled. And then instead of going to Jesus, you're wondering about the waves. And so that double-mindedness form serves the enemy because it gets you to disconnect from receiving from your generous, loving, and giving Heavenly Father. That's all it is. It doesn't really rob God. Does that make sense? Because He's good all the time. He's so good. You know, he would appear to Saul of Tarsus. I mean, that's good. You know, when the Lord got a hold of Saul and got him saved on the road to Damascus, and I've been on the road to Damascus. Maybe some of you have. Many of you might have been on the road to Damascus. I mean, the literal road to Damascus. Not an allegory. The actual road that led to the street called Straight. And when the Lord called Saul and then had Ananias, the bishop of Damascus, come in. Ananias didn't even want to baptize Paul or pray for him. He said, oh, Jesus, he's here to make trouble. We know that he came and got paperwork, and he's coming to haul us off. We're hiding our sisters and our mothers because he's throwing everybody in prison. No mercy, that guy. Religious zealot. The hitman of the Sanhedrin. I felt the anointing all over that thing. See, don't you feel better? You should feel better. All they did was talk about you. Get over it. Well, if you're looking at me, if they haven't talked about you, I want to tell my champions, church, I would preach a lot shorter if people didn't give me that face. See, some of you need to learn me better because you couldn't stare me down when I didn't have the Lord working in my life. What makes you think you're going to do that? You couldn't do it in the street. You're going to do it in the church. My. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. And so Ananias didn't want to do that. Didn't want to go, didn't want to pray for. But Jesus said, he's a chosen vessel. I've chosen him. How many of us here, you be honest, if it was you, and you were related to Stephen, if Stephen was part of your immediate family, if some of the people Saul of Tarsus had handicapped, imprisoned, and persecuted were your near relatives, how many of you would pray and fast a long period of time before you decided whether or not you want Saul to to join your church. You'd be like Gideon. Okay, I'm going to put out a fleece. What? You want to use him? I'm going to put out another fleece. My point is, God is good. And there are some people that are called and being used by God today that if it was up to you and I, we would have never called them. Glory to God. But now I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you that the opposition against you failed, that the call of God against you prevailed. What God has started, He will continue. What He's promised, He will fulfill. He will bless your home. He will lift your life. He will energize your being. He fulfill His purpose in your life. Glory to God. You will not be weary. You will not give heed to double-mindedness. You will not entertain anxiety. You will not become the victim of fear. You will live in great faith, in the God kind of faith. You will live in the God kind of faith. You will live in the God kind of faith. Praise God forever. Three things you remember them? Double-minded. And so basically, so double-mindedness, foot's in the door. You can still kick his shin and whatever, shoot his toes off, whatever, and close the door. Whatever kind of, you know, analogy you need. You understand? So normally, in every life, we have opportunities to analyze things from the viewer's perspective. From the viewer's perspective, you're okay. Long distance, you look at what's wrong and you look at what's right. And long distance, you're not in the middle of the circumstance. So you develop in your prayer life, in your study life, in your fasting life, in your communication life, a relatively successful battle plan. Because you're not in the middle of a battle. See, the moment you're in the middle of the battle, it's not time to plan. It's not time to get in shape when you're in the fight. If that thing is going to come out of nowhere, it's going to be knocked out of your sphere of influence. So if you're looking at it from the viewer's perspective, then you develop certain things that are according to the Word of God, the methods with which our predecessors, with which our Lord has successfully and victoriously triumphed over the works of the adversary. And when you develop those and you sit under a proven ministry, a proven mentor, then those attributes and those patterns and those habits become available to you and you grow in that. And then out there in your business, your activities, your life, and your circumstances, and you're standing on the promises of God, you're in the middle of a moving world, whether it's the weather is one way or another. How many understand what I'm talking about? Whether you're living in one nation or another, one neighborhood or another, it really doesn't matter. The Word of God never fails. Are you here? So when the things try to hit you and get you to doubt and be double-minded, you're able to repel because you've already reaffirmed your commitment to the truth. You're not going to choke when it's battle time. This thing is not a game. Stephen wouldn't even be an example had he choked and run off. Nobody would have killed any martyrs in the Bible had they denied Jesus. Anybody could have got out. Just about 10 years ago or so, Dr. Robin, about 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, the Spirit of God came upon Dr. Robin. She has a very proven mantle of an intercessor. And she, in vision form, would see certain people with the way they're dressed, clergy, Christian people, all of that. And she, with intercession, prayed constantly in tongues in the Spirit and all of that for people she's never met. And then just about, you know, whatever, 14 years ago, 13 years ago, the Lord opened some doors to us. And I have people here. See, I'm talking about the great faith. Hit someone, say, God's faith.
God's faith.
I have some people in America. America. People in America, they're great ministries, wonderful ministries. They told me, they said, Doc, we didn't used to believe in the rapture, but we believe in the rapture now. I think I believe in the rapture now. And because it was like getting a little rough over here, even though it was long distance. And that's not the reason to change your theology. It's not the reason, but the point is that it was ISIS. ISIS was out. And ISIS was being put on social media. Christians all over the Aramaic people groups from Abraham to date have preserved Christianity. They were being martyred for their Christianity. And the Lord opened up doors for us to repeatedly go and minister to their leaders. Sometimes I stood 20 minutes from where there were attacks hitting by terrorist groups. But people over here were changing their theology. So I'm talking to you about crossing over. If you don't want to cross over, that's okay, just attend. But if I'm talking to you today and you're ready to cross over to higher ground in your Christianity, higher ground in your victory, then I'm talking to you. You're not going to hide from your tomorrows. You're going to invade them with the power of the living God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so, Dr. Robin, you were praying and praying, praying, and she was weeping and sobbing. I remember it till like it was yesterday in our prayer library. And Dr. Robin was the people she had been praying for from way before anything happened. She's weeping, and the Lord said to her, don't weep for the martyrs. Just pray for the living that they will not deny me. See, it's a different world, isn't it? So it's a different world. Are you listening?
Yes.
It's a different world, but it's the same world. It's the same world. So don't let a paycheck, a payday, or a demonic promise get you to deny your purchaser. He bought me with a price. I belong to him. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I'm bought with a price more valuable than silver, more valuable than gold. He bought me. Hey! He sent his Spirit to live in my life. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And he will use us to pray for our relatives, our distant family members in all of the continents under heaven, that they would rise up in this hour and recognize it's revival time, it is harvest time, it is victory time, it is God time for the church. And the church will stand vowing to believe in his power in an apostolic generation more than we are hiding from an apostate generation. Get ready, child of God. Your hindered prayers will be hindered not too much longer. A decision away will take that foot out of the door and shut your door on a miracle of multiplication and provision in your life. Come on, get ready. Get ready in Alaska. Get ready in Hawaii. Get ready in California. Get ready in Arizona. Get ready in New Mexico. Get ready in Idaho. Get ready in every state. Get ready in the East Coast. Let the power of God hit you in every nation under heaven. Let the power of God hit you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I love you.
Love you more.
You may be seated. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
I'm just going to continue to be obedient to the Lord today. And remember, 1 Peter 1 and 3, he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He begat us again. He gave us the new birth, new beginning in Christ, new nature through Christ. The Latin word is regeneravit, where we get the word regenerated. So being born again is regenerated. We get the English word regenerated, and of course, thankfully, for the English Bible, that St. Jerome went and grabbed the languages of the Word of God from the Old Latin, which was about 90 or 100 A.D. I'm talking about the New Testament writings. And he grabbed the Greek and grabbed the Hebrew throughout the Old Testament and made the Vulgate language, the Latin language, which was the vulgar language, the language of the people. A lot of the English words that were adopted into English came from the Greek and from the Latin. In this case, you could see how the Latin word regenerated is close to the English word regeneration. That's called the etymology of the word. All right? Now, 1 Peter 22 and 23. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. You're there?
Yes.
Okay, seeing you have. Read that out loud, please. Again, this is good job, you guys. Again, being born again is the same identical word, anagenao, and it's the same word in the Latin. Regenerated is the English word. But very important to notice, being born again, having been born again, and also continuing. How many understand that it's not a historic experience, it's also a personal relationship?
Yeah. Yes.
How many of us believe in a personal relationship? How many feel like when we're personally connected with Jesus at the moment, there's a whole lot of absence of double-mindedness?
Yes.
How many believe there's an absence of anxiety? When anxiety is doing the greatest talk, something is wrong. Thank God. We're going to fix it today. See, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Not of a seed corruptible. The Greek words literally means not of a seed corruptible. Strong says incorruptible, indefiable, indestructible. Did you know you were born again through an indestructible seed? The enemy doesn't want the church to believe that. He wants you double-minded on that. But I tell you right now, the word of the living God is not destructible and does not see corruption or decay, that fadeth not away. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'll get you ready. Sign up for the conference. Please go with me in the Word of God to Mark chapter 11. This is the story you're familiar with. The Lord, our Lord, walks over to a fig tree that he sees afar off with leaves on it. And he went, happily he would find some fruit on it. Well, there was no fruit on the tree, and the Lord spoke to the tree out loud. And the reason it says the probable reason why it says he answered the fig tree is because in the Aramaic, the word to make a sound or respond, he answered saying, is the word answered. So the word is your answer. The word is your answer. So he told the fig tree, no man eat fruit from you from now forever. And went about his business. The next day after he left the city in the evening, left Jerusalem after he had forbidden the money changers and every other crook in the area from conducting business in the house of prayer. I'm not even going to look at anybody. I'm going to look. No, it's the truth. How many understand what I'm talking about? Because he did that by authority. Well, they were leaving when they in the morning were passing by the fig tree. Peter calling to remembrance that it was spoken to. He said, look how quickly it withered. We all know the story. But the Lord says, Jesus answered and said unto them in verse 20, what? Let's read it. Have faith in God. Let's stop here. Have faith in God. I want to stop here for a minute. The Douay Rheims, and I'm not going to belabor this, but you need to hear this. And Jesus answering said to them, have the faith of God. So the Douay Rheims translation is actually closest to the original language in this verse than as close as you can get. So notice what he said, have the faith of whom?
God.
So how can I have the faith of God? Well, I told us. If you're born of God, if the spirit of sonship is in you, then the accessibility to his faith is probable. Now the investment in me stirring up his qualities and leaning on his aid and developing his influence being the final say-so in my life, that's my job. But I would be foolish. And anybody else should know they would be foolish also if they put that secondary and put other things primary. Amen. Because there's nothing better than having God's faith active in your life. Have the faith of God. Berean literal translation said, have faith from God. Have faith from God. The original language where it says have, the original language for have faith from God. Have says hold faith from God. Possess faith from God. Retain faith from God. Maintain faith from God. Accept faith from God. That's the original meaning of the word have. The Lord didn't tell us to have something He didn't make available. So He said, accept what I'm making available.
Thanks for joining us on the Christian Harfouch Ministries podcast. Join us on our other podcast, Miracles Today. Connect with us at globalrevival.com, and we'll see you next week.